You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
We are off and running. It is July the 1st, 2026. July the 4th is coming up on Saturday, and I'm sure a lot of people have plans to get away and celebrate. And if you do so, please be safe. Please keep an eye out for people around you who may be less observant than you are, may not see you. You might be in a blind spot that they have. They may be behaving themselves in a reckless manner or distracted, whatever it might be. So please be careful out there and celebrate. One of the things that I do believe is that Christians should be people who know how to celebrate. In the Old Testament, depending upon your translation, the special holy days were either called celebrations or festivals. And I think that it is very important for us to celebrate the good things that God has done, and make sure you celebrate with your family and friends, and most of all, enjoy your relationship with God. By the way, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. We'd like to invite you out to our Wednesday night Bible study. I was talking with someone here a little over a week ago, and they were talking about, you know, that they were trying to figure out how to get plugged in a church. And I was like, well, one of the best ways that I can tell you is if you come on Wednesday night to our Bible study. We're studying the book of Exodus and how God ministered during the children of Israel emerging from captivity, and how that has real life applications to us. I don't read my Bible just for the historical account. I read the Bible so that I can know God better, so that I can know about Him, know what He wants from me, and know how lessons that I can learn from other people's lives. So I don't want to be hard-hearted like Pharaoh was. I don't want to be stiff-necked like the children of Israel. I want to be a person who walks in a healthy and holy relationship with God and enjoy all of the benefits there too. So I said, one of the best things I can tell you is come out on Wednesday night, join in the Bible study. I said, these lessons are independent of one another. They are not built upon one another. They are very, very, I mean, they do complement one another, but they're not exclusive. And so if you'd like to come out and join us, we have a young adult class on at 7 p.m. We have a kids class at 7 p.m. And we have our adult Bible study where we're studying the book of Exodus. And that starts at 7. We're very good stewards of time. And we've got it's a classroom setting set up in our sanctuary. We have tables, we have chairs, we have pens, we have study guides that we provide, and like to invite you out to be a part of that. Today we're going to begin diving into John 15. We concluded John 14 on yesterday's program, and it moves right into John chapter 15, where we are looking at the importance of the believers of Jesus Christ to be people who love one another. And so I'm going to read several passages then, like we did with chapter 14. We'll identify some key elements of living a life of love that are very practical in helping us to establish our daily priorities. chapter 15, Gospel of John, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So as we begin this journey into chapter 15, looking at the different areas and activities of a love-based relationship, we realize that what we have is a relationship between God the Father, who is the vine dresser, Jesus, who is the vine, and we, who are the branches. And so there's the vine is the source of life. It is the pathway through which life and nutrients flow, and it permeates into the branches with the purpose of it being producing fruit. And that part of the world, in the Middle East, there are some olive trees that and grapevines. There are trees that have been nurtured and cared for meticulously for very lengthy periods of time. They are highly valuable. They are treated carefully. They are treated with expertise. And as valuable as they are, you and I are more valuable to God than they. And his relationship to us is that he is the vine dresser. So what we see here is fruitfulness is valuable to him. Faithfulness is the pathway to fruitfulness. And the ultimate goal of this relationship between the vine, the branches, and the vine dresser is that the Father is glorified. So, in verse number 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He prunes it. He cuts it off or lifts it up. But it's never reckless. I noticed that there are a lot of people on social media here in Brevard County whose plants were traumatized because of the cold weather. And for many of the residents in Brevard County, because there's people constantly coming in and moving away and all that sort of stuff, they may not be all that familiar with how you should care for these plants that have been traumatized. And so some people want to come and they just want to cut everything away right off the bat. And then there are others that say, no, leave it. And then there are others that say, look, that plant's not coming back. Well, I'll tell you what I do. I was in contact with the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. And here's what I can tell you. They contacted me before I could contact them. And they were like, hey, how did your plants do during the cold weather? And so we were very fortunate. Our plants were picked by Treasure Your Landscape. And they all of those plants survived pretty well. And some of them, we had to let them get over the shock, and slowly but surely there was evidence of life that began to emerge. And here, you know, a few weeks ago, I noticed that Treasure Your Landscape had been by, and they pruned away that which was dead. The plant was still alive, but there was a lot of damaged parts of the plant, and they weren't coming back. And in that case, what they did was they pruned those plants, and some of them they pruned very deeply. But I remember walking by some of those plants. At one point in time, those plants had reached the height of the window. And as I was walking by, I saw that there weren't just a few leaves. There was a bunch of leaves that were emerging. And that plant was more fruitful now because the nutrients of the trunk of that plant was now causing the above ground portion of the plant to burst forth. Pruning is not God punishing. Pruning is what God the Father does because he loves us and he wants to get rid of the unfruitful areas of our life. There are different attitudes towards time. And so I was listening one day last week I was actually driving down the street, and the 10:30 broadcast was going on. And I told the story about people who are choosing to detach from other people, and that is their preferred way that they want to spend time. And as a person who was created an introvert who now has more of an extrovert personality, I can tell you that there are times when you need to come apart and be with Jesus. That's absolutely important. But we are called as saints to be fruitful. And so I preached a sermon one time. This goes back a lot of years. I preached that there are people who study history. There are people who, let's see, I've got to remember. There are people who study history. There are people who report history. And there are people who make history. And God comes into our life so that he can prune the unfruitful areas of our life so that we can make history by being fruitful and productive to him. Time is a precious, precious gift. And we don't need to be people who waste time and become unproductive. We are not called to just bide our time, although there will be times when we will actively wait on the presence of God, but we are called to invest our time, and that would be fruitful for us. So don't be a person who wastes something you can never, ever get back. I will tell you this, that when God calls you alongside to rest, that is not wasted time. That is obedience. So we need discernment from God the Holy Spirit to help us to understand that it many times it's not about loss. It is about that God is taking something out of our life because it's making room for something that is more beautiful, more fruitful in the days to come. So if God ever asks you for something, let me encourage you to say yes. Before my wife and I were engaged, there was a difference that we had talked about in our calling where she felt like she had a call to missions and I had a call to pastor. And in prayer, God said, okay, if that's her call and that's your call, how are you going to reconcile that? How is that going to work? And I said, I have no idea. And he asked me to lay that relationship on the altar. And so I did. I did so in a heartbroken manner. She wasn't pleased with it either. And when we said yes to giving it to God, then God said, now that I see that you value me more than you value one another, and, you know, my answer was, God, I love her, but I love you more. And so we laid that relationship on the altar, and God said, now you can have it back. Still had no answer to the original question, how are you going to make a call to pastor and a call to missions work? And when we came to Merit Assembly of God, we became known, the category that we were assigned in the Assemblies of God was we became known as home missions pastors. And all of a sudden, when that designation became known to us, then we understood how God was going to reconcile all of the things that he had been speaking to us in those early years. And the interesting thing is, I've been on missions trips as well as pastoring, and my wife has been the one who stayed, and she works a full-time job here in Brevard County, and her mission has been to make sure that the kids were taken care of while I was away, make sure the church was taken care of. And not only that, she has a mission to train up as many children and young ladies to be followers of Jesus Christ than ever before. My wife is extremely gifted and extremely passionate about the ministry that she has, and she's very, very good at it. There is not one single plant that I have ever dealt with that remained unpruned. So whenever I attempt to grow tomatoes, this year's experiment was greatly disappointing. But I was told you need to make sure that you prune the sucker branches off, the branches that look like they're doing something, but they're really not, or they did something, but they're no longer useful. You want to make sure that all of the nutrients get to where the fruitfulness is going to take place. In my neighborhood, there are some very large trees, been there for decades. But on whatever schedule, there are people who come in with a lot of equipment, and they prune those very large, very substantial trees to make sure that there's airflow And again, make sure that the nutrients get to where they need to go, that it grows in a manner that is going to be beneficial to the tree itself. So please understand that God disciplines those he loves, not out of hatred, but because he loves us and he wants to remove unfruitful areas in our life so that we can experience increased fruitfulness. So in past, whenever I have trimmed my tomato plants, all of a sudden, within a short period of time, the remaining branches started having little blossoms and buds that led to tomatoes. God knows what he's doing. So if he asks you to lay something down on the altar, please understand that it's not him being mean. He's not trying to deprive us of joy in our life. Instead, he is setting us up for fruitfulness that comes because of an abiding love relationship that exists between the branch and Jesus. Without Jesus, we are unable to do anything. I'm going to say that again. Without Jesus, without the love of Jesus, we are unable to do anything. It says here that unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I can't make myself any taller. I could make myself thinner. I can't change the color of my hair naturally. What I have discovered is that we are dependent upon God for our next breath. We're dependent upon God for our next thought. We are dependent upon God and his master craftsmanship when it comes to human physiology. We're completely dependent upon him for our next function. And you can be a tremendous health following person, but I'm telling you that apart from God, you can do nothing. Nothing of eternal value. You can run from him, but you can't outrun him. And God has this unique way of finding us when we think that we have run away from him and hidden from him as best as our as we can to our ability. So the key element is that because of we abide in Jesus Christ, then there we become a conduit of fruitfulness. Many years ago, more than I care to remember right at the moment, I could tell you how far back it went, but I'm not going to. Just say A lot of adults in Brevard County are younger than this study that I did. There were a lot of people waving banners in church services and things like that. And I said, I don't want to do things because other people are doing them. I want to understand what is there biblically in support of that. And so I did this study on banners, and I found in Numbers chapter 2 and in Numbers chapter 10, I believe it is, that the children of Israel, whenever they camped under five banners. They marched out under these five banners as well: Judah, Reuben, Levi, Ephraim, and Dan. And they always marched out in the same order. they always camped in the same sequence, in the same positioning. So Judah was always to the east, Reuben to the south, Ephraim to the west, Dan to the north, Levi right in the middle. And I always like to go back and study the meaning of the names. Joseph had been kidnapped by his brothers, sold into slavery, and ended up in Egypt. And he went from being a prisoner to being the prime minister of Egypt, representing Pharaoh in day-to-day business matters. And while he was there, he was married, and he had two children. One was Manasseh, and the name Manasseh means God has made me forget. God has literally worked in my life to forget all of the trauma that was done to me by my brothers. I want you to understand, if you came up in a very painful family dynamic, there is a supernatural pathway that is available. There are natural resources that you can avail yourself of too. You don't have to live under the taskmaster's whip of that trauma for your entire life. There is healing available in the body of Christ. But God can also make you forget. And so Manasseh means forget. And then a second son was born. And Ephraim doesn't just mean fruitful. It means double fruit. Double fruit. God loves us so much, He cuts away the unfruitful areas of our life so we can be fruitful. He also prunes the branches that are fruitful so that they will be even more fruitful. He operates in such a way, positions us so that we will continue to abide in Him. Many people who function from a foundation of character or giftings over character end up outgrowing what their character can support, and it leads to their own downfall. We don't want that. So we need to abide in Jesus and abide in that relationship of love, because fruitfulness flows from Him through us, and we need to realize that anything that we can accomplish to the glory of God, absolutely anything, is only made possible because of God. He chooses to operate through us. I've made this statement a lot of times. I'll continue to believe it my whole life. I know that there are people who exist without church, but I am so thankful for the body of Christ, because I have found that it is an abiding place and it is a source of blessing to me. I hope that all of us will be fruitful for the King. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."